Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line a very special guest, a very special friend, Mark Phillips. Mark, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and it is indeed a pleasure to be back on your show.
Well, Mark is one of those rare people who are willing to give up a great deal for, well, to do it, he felt was right. And, of course, he has an amazing, amazing story, having worked for, well, he never knew quite who he was working for. It was somebody in the government. Why don't you give our listeners just a little of the background of how you came to be working for the government and analyzing many of these mind control stories and programs, and then, well, we'll get on into what took you out of government employment. So pick up the story there.
All right, Dr. Stan, in the mid to late 60s, when the draft was invoked, and I was seeing some of my friends go to Vietnam and not even know who they were when they came back, and I lost a couple of friends over there, I determined that when my number popped up that I would have tried to do my best to locate a job within the military-industrial complex so I could serve my country in a way that would be more conducive to than something other than cannon fodder. So I was very fortunate in that I was selected from a field of several hundred people to work for a company right out there in your area, the Ampex Corporation. And the Ampex Corporation was providing the military-industrial complex with high-technology videotaping equipment, along with a great number of other things involving computerization and this sort of thing. And it was an opportunity for me to not only serve my country, but to have a good job. So I took the job, and before getting it, though, I spent about 3 months, plus a week or so, in intensive psychiatric and psychological evaluations, just almost day in and day out. I would say it was 2 to 3 to 4 days a week on the average for that three-month period of time. They knew absolutely how I thought. Well, as it neared the end, and I could sense it was about over and I was going to actually go to work, I asked the psychiatrist what exactly were they looking for. And he told me, he said, confidentially, he said, you're going to be working in some extremely top-secret programs, and he said, we need to know that you can keep a secret. I said, well, that won't be a problem, and I certainly would feel unchallenged by keeping a secret, particularly a government secret, that would in fact put our national security in jeopardy. And that's what I believe he was insinuating at any rate at that time. After working for the Ampex Corporation for a short period of time, I was working within mental institutions, within federal and actually some state penitentiaries, and also working within the Yerkes Primate Centers, both in Atlanta and in Colorado. What I saw, Dr. Stan, was some behavioral modification programs using drugs, hypnosis, and a complete depattering of people's behavior that had been considered incorrigible, and these people could never have been released back into society were it not for this MK Ultra program. And by the way, I did not know it was called the MK Ultra program. That was another secret that I was not allowed to know. What the outcome of some of the experiments were for was for also working with primates, and they were teaching apes how to communicate by using a typewriter or a keyboard for all intent and purposes, so that they could replace our astronauts should we have an accident like the Soviets had experienced about that same time in around 1969. Well, it was this information that I was beginning to see a pattern of that led me and a lot of scientists that I worked around in a lot of places to believe that by the year 2000, all of our mental institutions and our prisons could pretty much be emptied out. People could be, their minds could be retrained, and they could become productive, happy people, and have the ability to critically analyze, or I should say retain it, but nevertheless they would shun that bad behavior that put them in prison or in the mental institution to start with. Well, I know I was right, and I know those scientists were right when we believed that, but unfortunately, as you know today, we have more people in prison right now for victimless crimes than we've had collectively throughout America's history. Our mental institutions are bulging at the walls because the only treatment that people get are really from the mainline drug companies and what they're feeding them, and all they're doing is covering up the symptoms. They're not helping the people at all. It was then at the point when Ronald Reagan, by the way, how appropriate for this time, who was a governor of California at the time, he was attempting to pass a bill through the California State House that would allow an MK Ultra program to be used on the prison system there in California. But this program was trauma-based, and it was identical to the one that we've seen recently that's been done in Iraq, at that prison there. They were using water, food, sleep deprivation, some high voltage, completely disorienting the people with incredible amounts of compressed sound and white noise until the people literally broke, and then they began programming them with repetitious audible and inaudible programming. The people of California rebelled against this, and it caused a problem so severe that the president of Ampex almost went to prison for going up against the government. And Ampex lost all of its government contracts for the most part, and the president of the company had to step down, and Ronald Reagan almost lost his bid for the governor's seat because of that incident. But that, of course, didn't slow anything down, because in 1977, Senator Frank Church held hearings before the Senate for what had been determined that the CIA had been involved in some horrific experiments on human subjects, both in the United States, but particularly at a mental institution in Montreal, Canada. they were headed up, these experiments were headed up by the first appointed American Psychiatric Association, Dr. Ewing Cameron. Dr. Cameron was considered a brilliant doctor at the time. He also obviously had absolutely no social conscience whatsoever. And I believe you've covered this before on your shows, Dr. Stan. At least I hope you have.
Mark, I think it's worthwhile repeating. We have the book Journey into Madness, going into how Dr. Ewing Cameron actually destroyed people's minds intentionally. And these were people who just went to the hospital for treatment, mild depression, and they carry out these grotesque programs on them that, you know, would have made Dr. Mengele over in Hitler's Germany green with envy. But, of course, Mengele was ostracized for it. Cameron was lauded and applauded and made a great deal of money working for the CIA, determining how you could destroy people's minds, innocent people who they got in without their consent or knowledge, and, of course, experimented on at mental hospitals in Canada. I suppose they felt there'd be less repercussions there if it were ever uncovered.
Well, there was a great documentary reenactment, I should say, done in Canada. For a long time, you could not even get it in the United States. It was illegal to import. The name of it is called The Sleep Room. And that reenactment does, in fact, show exactly what Dr. Ewing Cameron was doing and who he was doing it for and why he was doing it and what happened to the people that attempted to, and these were Canadians, by the way, who attempted to get this before their government leaders and have the CIA stop it.
Now, is that available? Is it a movie available at Blockbuster?
Yes, I think you can order it online, and I think you can probably order it through Blockbuster or one of the others. It's entitled The Sleep Room.
All right.
And it's about 2.5 hours. I think it was a three-part series, actually, all condensed into one. But it is absolutely incredible. The detail on it is perfect, and I couldn't find anything other than the fact that it was dramatized. I couldn't find anything that wasn't true to history. It was in 1977 that those hearings were held. The CIA never would admit wrongdoing. The people that had been victimized, many of them had died by the time that the CIA offered any kind of settlement at all, and that settlement was about $44,000 per person, and each one of those people had legal expenses exceeding $1 million. So they really didn't get anything. They weren't in it for the money anyway, but they were all stopped under the 1947 U.S. National Security Act. What people do not know in this country and abroad is that any country that has a peace treaty with the United States, their citizenry is subject to the 1947 National Security Act. It was moving a little bit forward in time. It was 1988 when, as I was the chief executive officer of a joint venture corporation with the People's Republic of China, we manufactured large banks of capacitors for their mining industry. And, of course, the military controlled anything that was made of metal. And the military, of course, controlled the mining business. And it was at that point in time when I was notified that I had a partner in the United States that was in fact working for the CIA. He was involved in drug running, money laundering, child and adult prostitution, and although the words mind control were not exactly used, they were certainly insinuated by the intelligence officer that presented me the documentation to prove that he knew who I was, and they didn't care about my background, but they were very concerned about Alex Houston, who was a quasi-country music entertainer, and he was that was his cover. He was a stage hypnotist and a ventriloquist and an MC, but it gave him the freedom to travel around the country and distribute drugs for the CIA. When I was presented this information, I went back to the United States because, Dr. Stan, I frankly couldn't believe it. First of all, it was difficult for me to believe that Alex Houston would have any direct connections into CIA, much less the White House.
No, you knew Alex. He was your partner at that time?
Yes. I mean, I didn't know him well. I just knew him. And the only reason that we were partners is because it was his idea originally. He had approached me, since I had international business experience, and asked me if I would do this with him. And I did. And it was very, very successful. But moving forward a bit in time, this was about 1987 when this was all happening, and then early 1988, it was after I was able to confirm, and I should say, the first thing I did was turn all this information over to the Department of State, and after a very short period of time, they contacted me back and told me to forget about it. Well, I couldn't forget about it because that's nonsense. That's not the way they handle cases like this. At very least, they should have sent a Defense Intelligence Agency officer out to interview me. They didn't do anything. They just told me to forget about it and never say a word about it, or I would be paying a consequence. Well, I just couldn't grasp it because I had the experience working for the intelligence community and working for the Defense Intelligence Agency at one point. It didn't make any sense. So I then began an investigation on my own through my own resources, and I found out enough to know that Alex Houston did indeed have a young woman and her child, at that time Kelly was about 8 years old, in his control or in his charge, as the Chinese had told me. And these were the people that he was abusing and maintaining under a horrible type of trauma-based mind control. And he was using them for child and adult prostitution. He was prostituting them to politicians and prostituting them to anybody that their handlers told them to wherever he was supposed to take them. They were running a lot of drugs out of the Caribbean. And also distributing the drugs within the country music industry, because those guys are cash cows, and I guess the government felt like they didn't sell them the drugs, somebody else would.
Now, this was a CIA operation then of distributing the drugs?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, there are lots of books written about the CIA's black ops, as they're known, and how they fund these black operations with drug money.
Well, of course, we know that they funded part of the Afghan War with that. This is the war that went on from 1980 to 1988. I just finished reading a book by a professor of government back at the Columbia University called Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, and he actually talks about the testimony of members of the CIA admitting that the people they were working with were running drugs. So anybody who doesn't know that the CIA is involved in drug running and uses it to fund their black operations throughout the world really is very, very naive. And the great tragedy is that, of course, the CIA controls so many of our politicians. People think that we elect our representatives. No, we elect representatives, but they don't belong to us. They belong to the CIA and the people who control them, because then the politicians are compromised by drugs or by sex or whatever it would be, and they vote the way they're told to vote.
That's correct. Well, in 1988, in February 8th, as a matter of fact, when I had exhausted all of my efforts to locate a therapist and someone to help this woman and this child.
Had you met them at the time?
I met them only very briefly, and quite frankly, Dr. Stan, Kathy O'Brien, the mother, was my all intent and purposes what you and I could relate to as an airhead. She really didn't make a whole lot of sense about anything. She seemed exactly as the Chinese had told me that she was being maintained under my control. The little girl, Kelly, was probably one of the worst cases of post-traumatic stress disorder that I had ever seen in my life. And I had seen way, way more than the average person when I was working within the MKUltra program. It was at that point in time that I thought that I'd been totally betrayed by my government, and I began to reach out and look around to see if I could get them some help. Well, at that point in time, all of my bank accounts, everything I owned, was suddenly, with a keystroke, removed from my possession. Only that which I had hidden, and I didn't have much hidden because I'd pay taxes on all this stuff, I hear the music.
You hear the music, and it's the background. And one of our listeners, our guest this evening, is Mark Phillips, and we're talking about, of course, his amazing adventure as he moves away from his association with the intelligence community to try to help a young woman he just barely knew. And it's an amazing story. We've met Kathy on several occasions. We carry the book that she and Mark wrote entitled The Transformation of America. That's T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation of America. It's available in, I don't know, six or eight different languages throughout the world. People throughout the world know what's going on. The tragedy is most Americans are never allowed to know. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes with our special guest as we explore mind control in America. Well, it is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Mark Phillips. And Mark, just pick up the story from there.
Well, Dr. Stan, at that point in time, when I had, I felt I had not only been betrayed by my own government, but then robbed and threatened, I made a decision to do whatever I could to help this woman and this child out of their enslavement. I contacted a fellow who was at that time running, he was involved in the gun running business, actually, out of Central America, and a lot of the weapons that he was running were going to Afghanistan. He knew a lot about mind control, and I asked him if he could find out what key or code or trigger I could use to get Kathy O'Brien to leave her handler, Alex Houston, and let me get her into some therapist. Because I had some money left, and I also had the resources of my position back in Hong Kong, China, could have drawn upon. Well, a few days passed. I think that was on the 4th of February, and on the 7th of February, he contacted me and told me, he said, well, he said, I'll give you your key. He said, don't ever call me again. And he did. And the key he gave me was one that was, to me, at that point in time, blasphemous. He said, just use the voice of God and call her on the phone. I said, I don't think that's going to work. He said, that will work. He said, that is the same code that Robert Byrd, her owner, uses. He's God, and, as far as she's concerned, and that's the way it is. You call her up, and he said, and by the way, he said, tell her to read Psalms 37:37. And I'm pretty astute of the Bible. I'm a strong Christian, and I still couldn't remember at that point in time, I guess because I was so rattled, what that verse was, and I went and looked it up. And Dr. Stan, it starts, mark the perfect man. Well, of course, if you are literally thinking as people under mind control, do think literally, they don't think with any logic, that would indeed make her feel comfortable with meeting me as an almost total stranger at a local Burger King in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, which she did. She was right on time.
In other words, you called her, you said, this is God, and I want you to read this Psalm 37:37, and meet me at the Burger King?
I told her, I said, this is God. And I'm going to direct you to meet someone at the Burger King at 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning. And tonight I want you to sit down and read your Bible, and I want you to read Psalms 37:37. And I hung up. She never said a word, not a word. And I didn't even know if she was still on the line. And when I went to the Burger King, she was there on time. And she walked in the door with a big plastic smile, and she said, hi. God sent me to you. And I said, well, I suppose I got the same message as you. Sit down and let's talk a minute. She did not know her name. She didn't know where she'd been. She didn't know how old she was. She could not answer any question that I asked her. The pupillary dilation in her eyes, her eyes were completely blacked out. I had no idea of what her eye color was for about 9 more months, because it was at that point that I sold my home, dissolved every asset that I had remaining, and took she and her daughter to Alaska, where I got help from CIA, from daily 800 phone calls, and they helped me put Kathy back together.
Now, why would they do that? Was there any special reason? Were these just good people working within the CIA who realized, of course, the evil that some people there were doing?
Well, since I don't think I knew any of the people that I talked to, and believe you me, I listened very closely to their voices, they didn't appear to know me, so I don't think it was me per se, but it was through my friendships and relationships within the Central Intelligence Agency, among two other security groups, that I think was more or less responsible for their cooperation, because they didn't seem terribly interested in any of the drama that I was portraying to them on the phone. They were only telling me exactly what to do and how to handle each situation as it arose.
Now, you mentioned Robert Byrd. That was Senator Robert Byrd.
Yes,
that she was actually used to compromise him.
He apparently was the one in control of Kathy from the time she was about 13 years old. That was when Kathy's father was caught sending child pornography through the U.S. mails, and they made a deal with him if he would sell his daughter into the MK Ultra program, he would be well taken care of, and they did take care of him. He only had a fourth grade education. He immediately was given the presidency of a camshaft manufacturing company that was supplying the military industrial complex all the Jeeps and motor vehicles for the government, and he became a multimillionaire practically overnight.
And did he actually sell his other children into the program as well?
Yes, but he went ahead and had five more children to put into the thing.
You know, I think for our listeners, a few years ago there was a television program. It was called The Pretender. It was a story, of course a fictional story, about some sort of an institute. And there they had this young boy who'd been kidnapped from his parents, or taken from his parents, or nobody really knew, but he had been kept there at this institute for many years, gone through some bizarre sorts of experiments, some trauma, torture, but he developed a tremendous acuity in his mind. And he was able then, once he escaped from the institute, to take on any personality he wanted to. He was the pretender. It was an exciting program. You watched it every week because it always ended up in the chase as the people from the institute tried to track him down and bring him back in. But because they wanted to use his talents, but they had actually created a very unusual individual. Now, the trouble is that there's a great deal of truth in the story. And this sort of thing really did go on. I've talked to Dr. Colin Ross, who is a psychiatrist practicing in Texas, as I remember.
Yes.
He's written a book called Operation Bluebird, dealing with his experience treating people who are victims of CIA mind control experiments, and in them they create this dissociative personality. We used to call it split personality. It really isn't. They've got one personality, but they're able to totally distort that so that people are unable to remember these horrible tortures that they've been through. Could this happen in America? You bet it could happen in America, because we've got evil people working at the highest levels of our intelligence community, and that, of course, is the last thing they want the American people to know. The book, Operation Bluebird, by Colin Ross, you'll certainly want to get. The Transformation of America, which is written by our guest tonight, Mark Phillips, and by Kathy O'Brien, who has been, thanks to Mark's work with her, totally transformed, and she's a lovely, charming woman today. But you pick up the story from there, Mark.
Well, Dr. Stan, it was almost 9 months before I could get all the information that I felt I needed to present. And I contacted some friends within U.S. Customs Enforcement, and I did have friends that went all the way to the top, to William Von Raab at that time, who, and by the way, that's a cabinet-appointed position to be head of U.S. Customs. And I provided them what scant proofs that I had, and what testimony and proofs that U.S. Customs was able to develop for us in a very covert manner. William Von Raab resigned his position, and he said so publicly that he could not function as head of Customs when he was fighting his own government. It was at this point that we decided that we would take this to court, and we did. And our pursuit of justice lasted 7 years, and we were stopped under the National Security Act. And at that point, decided that we had to take it before Congress. We did, and again, they kept stalling us and stalling us, so we presented it to the United Nations Commission for Human Rights Abuses, and they sadly told us that they wish this case were isolated, but there are thousands that they were aware of.
We'll be right back in just a moment with Mark Phillips. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and Mark, why don't you go ahead and just continue the story. You said you'd gone to the United Nations, and they told you that this was not a new story. They knew that this has happened to thousands of people, and of course, this is known throughout the world. Certainly, I know you've spoken all throughout the world. Your book is in many different languages, but the thing is, every effort is made here in the United States, you know, to block it through regular channels. I suppose, though, that you're able to get it on Amazon and through Borders and some of those bookstores?
Oh, yeah. All the major booksellers handle our book. That's not a difficulty at all. The only problem is that the national medias won't touch the story. We've had some real good fortune with media outside this country handling it. But unfortunately, it doesn't have any impact whatsoever inside this country because all the news here is well filtered. It's a situation whereby we have kept blowing the proverbial whistle because Kathy's daughter, Kelly, her victimization was very different from Kathy's. Kathy was really raised in this stuff from birth. I mean, she was psychologically and physically and sexually abused from the day she was born, and I mean that literally. Whereas Kelly, it was not just trauma she was exposed to. She was exposed to some high-tech equipment that scarred her brainstem so horribly that she, to this day, cannot focus on going to school. She can't focus on a job or even a hobby. And she's a loving child. She's 24 years old now. Does not have a life at all. Before her, she only lives from moment to moment. And it is for Kelly that we continue our whistleblowing effort in hopes, just in hopes, to let the people know that they can identify what mind control actually looks like. And they can see it in their own families or on their own street. This has really been our quest. But and it's in for Kelly's sake. And also, we are fighting to get the technological rehabilitation that Kelly needs. I know what Kelly needs as far as the technological rehabilitation she requires. I know exactly what it takes. But unfortunately, that equipment is still, to this very day, considered top secret and classified. And the equipment itself, I could replicate out of a Radio Shack. But unfortunately, the computer program that runs it, I cannot. It's a very, very, very sad thing, and I'm sure Dr. Ross is commented on this type of technology as well.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Mark Phillips. We're talking about his experience with Kathy O'Brien, CIA Mind Control. And, of course, we have an interview with Kathy O'Brien in our four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, because she was sent to the Bohemian Grove by the CIA to actually compromise elected officials and other people. Bohemian Grove is a center up in Santa Rosa, where the presidents and the secretaries of state and the people of great wealth, the Rockefellers and others, go, along with the leaders, financial leaders, people who control the media, and they hold their meetings. They, of course, have the meetings in front of the 40-foot owl of Moloch and feigned human sacrifices. At least we hope they're feigned. But we have a wonderful four-tape set, and Kathy O'Brien tells her experience going there. Well, Mark, of course, had dedicated his life to trying to get Kathy out of this, get her daughter out of it, and then, of course, to try to get her reprogrammed so she could think and think effectively. I know I met Kathy probably 6 years ago, and even still then, why, her thought process was not really clear. I heard her give a speech this last weekend, and, of course, she did a magnificent job, I guess, weekend before last. And, you know, you can tell her, in fact, she spoke without notes, did a wonderful job. So you've really done a wonderful job of giving her mind back. And what a terrible thing it is to think that there are wicked people in our government who would actually do experiments on human beings and destroy their mind. And if you doubt this sort of thing goes on, we do have the CIA report. This is the MK Ultra report put out by the Senate. They've done everything to suppress it, but we copy it ourselves or make copies available. We do have what we call the Rockefeller Committee report, which is put out by the Veterans Administration over the name of Jay Rockefeller, talking about the hundreds of thousands of Americans who've been experimented on without their knowledge and consent, and some of them have died, and how it's all covered up. And of course it goes into the Gulf War syndrome, and how there is an infectious component to that, and how 40% of the wives of the veterans who are ill, the wives are themselves ill and the children are ill. They've introduced new diseases into our population. You can sit there and say, well, these things don't bother me, I mean, I don't want to hear about this sort of thing. But wait till you come down with chronic fatigue or perhaps some other disease they've created. We're dealing with people who have no conscience. We're dealing with psychopaths, only many of them are working for our government and are controlled by people at the highest levels in our intelligence community. So pick up the story from there, Mark.
Well, Dr. Stan, you also have something else in your possession now that your listeners should know about. And you have roughly 17,000 plus files on MKUltra that we managed to get through Freedom of Information Act through a brief window of opportunity back in 2000 before it was closed off. In these files, there are some 37,000 pages, and they're not heavily redacted. As a matter of fact, we found Kathy's baby doctor in those files as being one of the MKUltra scientists that was involved in horrific stuff.
And that's on a CD, and actually we do have that CD, and we can make it available. You'll have to call in. We haven't told our exchange about that, but we will make that available. It's an amazing here's all the information the CIA didn't want anybody to have. They tried to destroy it all, and I guess there were some people within the CIA who still had a conscience, and
yes,
and they didn't destroy them all. And then when somebody wrote in and under the Freedom of Information asked for information on MKUltra, why they gave it to them. And, of course, that was what led to the Senate hearings. And the one thing that the wicked people do not want is for the good people to learn what they have really done.
Well, actually, that person that wrote in, his father had been murdered by the CIA. And they had only released about 1,500 files. It wasn't until around 2000 that the entire batch, after George Bush Sr. had gone on national television and said that he had ordered all of the MKUltra mind control files destroyed because he didn't feel that America needed a bad memory, they would have access to. I think it's a dreadful excuse for cover-up, but nevertheless, that's what he did do. And fortunately, there were good people inside CIA that did not follow the orders, and the files did turn up in one of those odd type situations, turned up in a lawyer's office, and these files, for the most part, were very, very revealing and very damning of what had happened. And quite frankly, anyone who looks at that set of files, they can no longer deny that our government has been involved in mind control research actually since the 30s, but it was after World War II that the Axis powers got a hold of all the Hitler-Himmler research that had been done on the multi-generationally abused families in Northern Europe. And these families had children that were exhibiting extraordinary traits, like photographic memory, they had 44 times visual acuity, I know that's almost unimaginable, at least it was to me, until it was actually replicated at the University of Illinois in around 1989 or 1990. But the fact remains is Hitler believed that he could create the perfect soldier, the perfect spy, the perfect politician, and of course in cases where he chose to, he could produce the perfect prostitute or whatever. And Hitler believed that mind control was the future for the New World Order to be put into place properly. Well, our government has been working in earnest with all the technology and all the science, and now has been using U.S. and other citizens from other countries. I hear horror stories coming out of Indonesia. I hear horror stories coming out of the Philippines, particularly out of the Philippines, because we've spoken in all these places, and I've met with the doctors, and I've met with military people there, and they tell the same story, that the United States government is going into these places and using their citizenry, and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Well, I think that one of the things that most people don't know is that at the end of the Second World War, there were all these Nazis that committed these terrible atrocities and experiments in the prison camps, and of course, most people think that they were tried at Nuremberg.
Uh-huh.
Well, that isn't true at all.
No.
Many of them were brought to the United States under something known as Operation Paperclip, and there's a wonderful book written by Linda Hunt called The Secret Agenda. Just try to get a copy of that book up on Amazon. It'll cost you $125. Or you can get my interviews with Linda Hunt, where we go into the, and we actually have two or three interviews with her. In fact, I'd sort of like to put together a four-tape set on Operation Paperclip. But they brought over actually three groups of scientists to the United States. One group were into rockets. That's where Werner von Braun comes in. He was a member of the SS. Of course, they never told you that, but many of the people who worked in the American space industry had been involved with terrible war crimes, and they were let off scot-free. Others were involved with biological warfare, and that, of course, with the mycoplasma and chronic fatigue comes in. And then the third group were into mind control. So I don't know, they brought over probably 1,000 or 2,000 of these Nazi scientists who should have been tried for war crimes, but they were allowed to come here. Then, of course, they allowed many of the Nazis to go to South America, and actually this is covered in Linda Hunt's book, The Secret Agenda, and certainly covered in well in Craig Roberts' The Medusa File, which we do carry. And here we have people like Morton Bormann and Adolf Eichmann and Klaus Barbie and Dr. Mengele and many of the others. I mean, literally thousands of Nazis were smuggled into South America with the help of the OSS and the CIA. Now, why would they do that? Oh, because Nazism was founded in the occult. And so were at least this many of the leaders within the OSS and the CIA, until you understand that the same dark and evil spirit permeated not only the Nazis but the United States. You cannot understand what is going on. We have two forces in America. One is the Christian, the force for good, and the other is the dark force, and it works within the highest echelons of our government. And within the secret societies we talk about in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you have to understand there really are secret societies out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they are sure working behind the scenes. So you pick up the story. I'm going to get off my soapbox, but I wanted people to understand where a lot of these ideas came from. They came from these Nazi scientists that came over here and were allowed to continue doing their experiments on human beings.
Well, there were some 700-odd psychiatrists and psychologists, both Nazi and fascist, that were brought into this country, and they were carefully placed into our schools of higher learning. Many of them started out at Penn State. Many of them were placed into the military industrial complex corporations, and they just sort of blended in very well. And their knowledge did not go to waste, according to the CIA. Now, you know, in 1947, they passed the National Security Act to protect from having to reveal any of this stuff. At the same time, they slipped it by Harry Truman, and he made the statement to his daughter, whom I interviewed, and someone else I know as well interviewed her, and she made the statement that her father regretted only one thing in his presidency, and that was signing the National Security Act. He said that would destroy America eventually. He said the fact is the National Security Act completely derails the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, completely. I mean, there's nothing left anymore. As a matter of fact, Dr. Stan, as of today, there is a team of lawyers arguing for the Bush administration that it is perfectly legal for the President of the United States to order torture on anyone that he considers a terrorist. Now, this is the arguments that are going on today that came out on NBC.
You mean our Christian president would say if it's all right to torture people?
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, the thing is, stop and think, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on. Are we being misled? Is there really, perhaps, very little difference between the leaders of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party? I can't speak for George Bush, but George Bush is a figurehead for the people who control him. And I will tell you that behind him are people like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. Both of them come from a secret little group called the Project for the New American Century that planned the war with Iraq back in 1998. And if you doubt that, go to their website, which is newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. Or go through my letters up on my website at radioliberty.com. You'll see the references to the Project for the New American Century, and both Rumsfeld and Cheney belong to that. And they're the people who, of course, control Bush. In fact, when President Bush was called before the 911 Commission to testify, he was afraid to go without Dick Cheney being there with him to help him. Because I will tell you, I've met George Bush personally and talked to him in question and answer sessions. And you ask him a question he hasn't been told the answer to, and he can't think on his feet at all. That's why they had to have Dick Cheney there to control him when he went before the 911 Commission. Of course, he refused to testify in public, but even in private, he was afraid to go without Dick Cheney. So we're in real trouble as a nation. Our president is a figurehead for very dark forces who work behind the scenes. And if you want to know just how dark Dick Cheney is, you need to read the book Transformation of America. What year was that book written, Mark?
Well, actually, the book was a composite of our congressional testimony that was really hurriedly put together in 1995 after our lawyers and one retired federal judge told us that they were going to keep stalling us until the day we died because they had told us that we could not testify and have our testimony made public. It had to be done within the House Intelligence Oversight Committee, and then it would be moved to the Senate Intelligence Oversight Committee, and it would have to be behind closed doors and remain under a national security wrap. Well, we agreed to do that. I mean, we had no choice. And so they scheduled us to come in and do it, and then we waited and waited and waited, and they said, well, some other businesses come up. We're going to have to postpone this. So after the third postponement and the third trip, our lawyer said, look, this is insane. Just we'll put something together, put a cover on it, and we'll put it out on the street. Well, I wrote a foreword to it, and we filled in some gaps so that the people could have some point of reference and understanding what we were talking about, because Congress, of course, has a reference, and particularly the Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence Oversights. They have a reference on mind control. They understand it, and they are privy to the MKUltra program. However, when we put it together, we never figured that anybody would actually read it. We had a couple of thousand minimum print run done on it in 1995, in September of 95. We just gave away 95% of the books and just cast them around to all the media and everybody else, and all of a sudden the people clamored that they wanted to read the book. So we had a second edition printed, and then a third, and then a fourth, and we kept updating it. Now we've done the 13th North American edition, and of course it's in it's also in German, and by the way, it's in all German libraries, and it's also in all of the university libraries, and it's mandatory, by the way, that it be there. And it's the only book on mind control that was ever written outside of Germany that is allowed to be in a German library. That's irony, isn't it?
Sure it is.
It's in its second or third edition in Italian. It's in Turkish. It's in Korean. It's in Arabic. And it'll soon be going into Japanese and a French edition. It is absolutely taken off around the world. But unfortunately, Dr. Stan, it has not helped Kelly, and it has not done anything to stop this movement. People are going, you know, if they had read Trance in 1995, there's no way in the world that, and believed any of it or looked into any of it, there's no way in the world that we would have the current administration in place right now.
Because, of course, there's a section in that book about the man named Dick Cheney. Well, we've got Karen calling in. Karen, hi, how are you tonight?
Yes, I'd like to say that I read this book back in 1997 when I first started this research, and I want to thank you, Mark, and Kathy O'Brien for your great courage in writing this and disseminating this book. And I always tell people if they want to know the New World Order up close and personal, read this book.
Yeah.
And the copy that I purchased back in 1997, I gave away, and I told the person I gave it to, just circulate it.
All right, we're carrying the book again now, Karen. What part of the country are you living in?
Right now I'm living in Monterey, but I'm originally from Buffalo, New York.
Okay, fine. We were just trying to see if we were getting, if you were away. We're having a little trouble with our shortwave and wanted to see if you were listening on shortwave, but I suspect you're just listening on your radio.
Well, I first heard about your show, Dr. Stan, from a very dedicated researcher up in Napa who gave me a taped copy of your show about mind control. It might have been several years ago that this was taped. And I found out that you were broadcasting out of the Monterey area, Santa Cruz area. And when I moved down here, I was delighted to be able to just pick up your show and switch on the station and hear you at any given time. And you, Dr. Stan, are providing a valuable resource of information. And your show is a valuable outlet for this information, and I listen to you as often as I can, because even though I consider myself to be a very well-studied researcher, I can always learn something new by listening to your show.
Well, God bless you for saying that.
Yes, and I'd like to buy several copies of this book, Transformation, because I really feel that it gets the message across. It's very readable, and it really gets the message across, like if you want one book that will indicate the situation this country is in right now, that is it.
Well, let me just suggest the telephone number, 800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get it. And certainly, I think it's an important book. That's why we carry it, and I'm just so glad it is available to you.
Thank
okay,
you
anything
so much.
Else you want to say, Karen?
That's it.
God bless.
Thank
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Okay, fine. Well, there's a testimony there of somebody who's read the book. And I think when you read this book, you'll never look at the world quite through the same eyes again. Now, there are a lot of things in the book, I'm sure, that we wish weren't true, that we wish weren't happening. But we have to face the world as it really is, because if we don't take a stand against these things now, there may come a time when it will be impossible to, just as the German people, good people, because they did nothing. Why, eventually they lost everything. I was in Germany after the Second World War. I saw the towns with nothing but rubble left. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, we got about a minute and a half on this first hour of the program, Mark. What other thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners here? Because we have a large audience up in Washington and, of course, a large audience throughout the Middle West.
Well, Dr. Stan, one thing that I would like to emphasize for people like Karen is that a number of people have asked us, how have we managed to survive? How have we managed to not be locked up or sued or incarcerated in some sort of a mental institution? And there is a formula to that. And the formula is you have to play by the legal rules, and that's what we've done very carefully. Of course, it's like walking a tightrope without a net under you, but we have succeeded where others have failed, and as a result of that, we have chronicled the 17 years that it took us to get to this point in our second and last book, I think, entitled Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. And we'll be sending you a review copy, and it should be off the presses very soon.
Well, we're looking forward to getting that. Of course, when we have that, we'll get you back on, because we need to get this information out. And if you're out there across America, it's up to you to help us to get that out. We're going to be back in just a few minutes for the second hour. However, we'll be losing some of our audience here. And so, but right now we have to just do a little, we'll let people know a little bit about our ministry here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I need to let our listeners know that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. One of our callers had called in and asked what the title of the movie was, or the documentary Mark had talking about. It's called The Sleep Room. The Sleep Room. And we have to try to get that from Borders or Blockbusters or something of that sort. But Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're interested in knowing more about our ministry, our telephone number, the one I gave Karen, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you're interested in learning about the book Transformation of America, I suggest you call that same number. And if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to get you one. We do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to what we're talking about. We have a wonderful four-tape set on mind control, and some of our older interviews with Mark Phillips are there. The story hasn't changed. We think it's an excellent tape set, and we'll be coming up with other tape sets on this very subject. Yeah, people must understand that there really are evil and wicked people out there who have destroyed the minds of literally thousands of people intentionally. Sometimes with drugs, sometimes with trauma-based, torture based upon creating dissociative personalities. And the documentation is all there. The only trouble is you're not going to read about it in the controlled media. So we hope that you'll want to challenge, determine whether we're telling you the truth. And if we are telling you the truth, then you'll join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any other nation, founded on Christian principles, can long endure. We've got Roger calling. Wants to give us something on shortwave. What was it, Roger?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Stan. The good news and the bad news, you're absolutely booming in here for the world banders on 7.535 megahertz. And your earlier 2 hours, in case anybody didn't hear, I get it from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern here on 13.770.
Now, yeah. We're going to be changing that to a better frequency here a little, probably in the middle of the week.
But yeah, that was the bad news part, because I noticed on my good double conversion radio, it sounds great right now. But, of course, if you have a single conversion set, you're getting an image off another radio station that may be half or more of your listeners that have the cheaper sets. And God bless you all.
All right, but this program is coming in well.
Yes.
And is this coming in on a good radio, or is it just on a regular radio?
Well, on both of them, but the cheap single conversion set has that whistling and low beat.
Well, even with this frequency we're on right now?
Yeah, it has to do with intermediate frequencies and all that technical stuff. But I think the frequency should hopefully, as you said, be changed, and that should rectify the problem.
All right, fine. Thanks so much for calling, Roger. Okay, well, that was Roger calling from Pennsylvania, who monitors this and keeps us abreast of what's going on. Well, anyway, we do hope that many of you will consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We invite you to go to our website, which is www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet. You won't get anything done. We're 5 hours a day on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and we'll have the frequency straightened out here very, very soon. We're getting more powerful frequencies, but unfortunately they're new frequencies, so you're going to have to tell your friends where we are so they can continue listening to us. So this is the time we ask you to pray for America, understanding full well that there really are dark spiritual forces that are involved in what's going on today. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose this country. We need a third great awakening. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. To those who will be leaving our broadcast at this time, why, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills outside, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we will invite your calls for this hour. Our guest this evening is Mark Phillips, and he's had an amazing life. He actually had given up everything to try to rescue this woman who was a victim of CIA mind control. And now, through the years, he's actually been able to bring her back to the point where, you know, she's a beautiful and lovely person. But, of course, she has been victimized by your government with your taxpayer money. And, of course, it's part of these macabre experiments that the government has been playing, you know, on mind control. Always in the name of science. Always in the name of science. They're creating new diseases that can affect you. But it's all in the name of science, and there are too many people in the world, and we're exterminating the blacks of Africa. But it's being done scientifically. It's sort of the Malthusian concept of really too many people are running out of food, and well, shouldn't we try to engineer a better race of people? And that is the attitude of these wicked people who control the reins of power. We've got Bill Cocking calling now from outside of Spokane. How are you doing, Bill?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to mention, and I'm sorry I don't have all of the facts to memory, but this experimentation is so bad it even appears in major media these days. I think it was about 6 weeks ago on 60 Minutes. They ran a story about the survivors. There were two men.
They were the two boys that orphanage, weren't they?
From the orphanage, I believe it was Rochester, New York. I may be wrong there, but it was back east in that area.
Right.
Yes. And they talked about the experimentation that had gone on to these innocent children who basically had no families. And
they were felt to be mentally defective.
They really weren't
necessarily. They were just kids that were put into this school. Yeah, that was a horrible story. I hope that people realize the significance of what they were saying. We have people who experiment on human beings in this country just like the Germans did, and I'm sure Dr. Mengele would be green with envy because he was ostracized for what he did. Here in America, we congratulate them because it's done in the name of science.
I'm glad you're familiar with the story, but this was shocking to hear that Quaker Oats Corporation, the federal government was involved, and the kids had radioactive materials put in their milk just to see see how they would react and what kind of health effects it would be on them.
There's a book written about it. It's called The Plutonium Files.
And here it is on 60 Minutes. But
right.
It's just, people don't seem to believe anything unless it's in the Wall Street Journal or on 60 Minutes.
Well, that's why I watched 60 Minutes. I want to see what the enemy's doing. I always thought it was a very well-done program, though.
Good. I'm glad you saw it. I just wanted to bring it up as a point of information.
Do you have any comment at all on that, Mark?
Other than the fact that that was a very isolated case, and there are tens of thousands more just like it that have not been brought to light, and the children that have been lost, particularly within the state's adoption systems, I should say, there have been an untold number of children that have wound up like this, and many of them, unfortunately, have died as a result.
There was an orphanage. It was called the Willow Creek Orphanage, as I remember. And here the scientists, government scientists, went in, and they infected these children intensely with hepatitis A and hepatitis B, just to see how the disease would affect their bodies. And, of course, some of them became chronic carriers for this, and I'm sure some of them died of it. But it was all done in the name of science.
Now, the other famous one, obviously, that you've talked about in the past is what was done with the black man and
Tuskegee, right. We've had a great foretaste on that. Okay. Well, okay. Thanks so very much for calling, Bill. Your assignment up there is to get everybody a know listening to our programs up there in the great Northwest.
All right. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest this evening, Mark Phillips. But we've been talking about the macabre experiments that the government carried out on people. You know, many of them were children who had been born into families where there was a sexual abuse, and of course then they would compromise the parents, and they would purchase with either money or with the threats of imprisonment to the parent, or maybe both, and get these children into these programs and then create these dissociative personalities. And, of course, some of these people were used for spy work. Some of them were used for prostitution to compromise the politicians or anybody they really wanted to compromise. And now, what sort of things, how were they able to utilize these people by creating better memories? Do you know how they were able to utilize that at all?
Well, Dr. Stan, their ability for critical analysis was, of course, stopped. But their memory is completely, all of us have a photographic memory. I have one, I just don't have any film. But the photographic memory aspect, everything that we see, experience, feel, touch, smell, is recorded in our brains, and it's there forever. If once science had done the brain mapping part and understood how this worked, they could envision having people that could literally remember everything that they saw and everything that they heard in absolute detail, and they would not be able to recall it on a conscious level. It would have to be triggered out of them. In other words, I'm sure you and all your listeners are aware of the Pavlovian experiments, and it's based on that same theory, which is, of course, a fact. Aside from the photographic memory aspect, there are some other things too that really could help medical science a great deal if it were not maintained in such secrecy. And that is, blood flow can be controlled on someone who is being maintained under mind control. So you can see the application of perhaps the perfect soldier who could take a bullet and continue functioning in a quasi-normal way.
Well, actually, you know, the government does have a program now that Joyce Riley talks about to create the super soldier who will be able to fight for a week, without sleep, without food, just totally dedicated. Of course, it may very well kill him physically, but they're not worried about that. They want the super soldier.
Exactly.
And they actually have a program to do this by these mind control techniques you're talking about and by, stimulating physical endurance. But eventually that, at the end of a week or two, why this person is totally spent and, may never be able to recover from the experience.
Well, I have met offshore men who were involved in Delta Force out of Fort Hood, Texas. One of them I'll never forget as long as I live. His psychiatrist, who happened to be an Australian, presented this man to me, along with another client who happened to be a former U.S. Navy SEAL, in a special operations situation just like that. And they had been part of the creation of the proverbial perfect special forces person. And yes, this has been going on a lot longer than most people are aware of. The casualties, of course, the government, for the most part, covers up through the VA. But Dr. Stan, our special forces now, the regimen for training them, is nothing short of the same formula that was used in the Egyptian Book of the Dead for developing a mind control slave. And I'm not casting disparaging remarks about people who are involved in special forces. I've got friends that were, but they were involved with special forces prior to this huge change that was made back in the 80s when George Bush was in.
All right. Well, let's go to Nathan, who's calling here from Contra Costa and hanging on very patiently. Hi, Nathan. Did you have a question or comment?
Good evening, gentlemen. Yes. Dr. Phillips, sir?
Mark Phillips.
Yeah, okay, no doctor.
Why is it, do you suppose, that the Congress, the Rockefeller Commission, and, all the information about mind control programs came out? Was there some manner of agenda in either releasing the information when they did, or the manner in which they released the information, in which there's some manner of Hegelian dialectic being played here? Is my question? Because
all right, let's get Mark.
Sure.
I think Nathan's question is, why did he ever let this information out?
Well, I think the information is like a boiling pot. Our entire world runs on secrecy, and psychological warfare is absolute, not only in the United States but around the world. When information percolates up through the ranks and it reaches mainstream and it's undeniable any longer, and lawsuits are flying in every direction, at that point in time you will see a release of some information that is at least 50 years of age. They usually wait until after everyone is dead that was involved in the thing before they ever expose it. But eventually all information does reach the light of day. But by the time that it does, people look at it as a history book rather than a current event.
Yeah, I think that's really very true. I think that what happened with the Church Committee hearings is you had people, I think Frank Church was an honest senator. That's why they had to get rid of him and why he was been ridiculed and demonized, and he's, oh, what a terrible guy. He attacked our intelligence agencies. He's responsible for 9/11. You know, that's why the intelligence agencies had no idea, who these people were that were going to attack America and all this jargon. I think that, and I even hate to say it, but Ted Kennedy was involved with that. And I think that they recognized it was evil and they wanted to bring some of it out. Now, I don't like Ted Kennedy. I think he's a wicked person himself, but they did a great job on that investigation. The MK Ultra report of the Church Committee is available through Radio Liberty. As far as the Rockefeller Committee report is concerned, I don't think Rockefeller ever read it. It just came out over his name because he was in charge of the committee. But I talked to the person who put together that report. It was a woman researcher, and I think it was really done by a couple of people. And I don't think Jay Rockefeller probably ever realized that what it was about. I asked her to come on my program, and I will tell you, Nathan, that woman was scared to death. There was no way she was about to come on my program. She did a wonderful job getting the information out, and I think that at that point she feared for her life. or at least a job.
Is Jay Rockefeller part of the establishment, right. i.e. his last name, or are there some Rockefellers? I don't know. I mean, what's
ahead,
going on here?
Absolutely.
Why would Jay Rockefeller want it out?
Yeah, he's absolutely. He's part of the. He's part of this whole system.
Hegelian dialectic. We have a thesis, an antithesis, and then a synthesis.
Right.
The synthesis is some sort of. Yeah, we get the information out there, but how it's manipulated and used once it's out there, and people who really tell the full story are covered up. Is that what, does that roughly
encapsulate? That is precisely correct.
And then the thing is that if you kept going after day after day after day, like they do the Scott Peterson trial, like they do with the O.J. Simpson trial, and they talk about it at Toby Bryant, and they talk about it and talk, I mean, your attention is focused on that. If they bring it up one day, it's one article on page 34 of the paper behind the Potrostad, and it's never mentioned again, why you forget things so readily. Anything else, Nathan?
No, that's it. Thank you.
God bless. And let's go to Susan, who's calling from Monterey. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Hi. Fine, thank you. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to pose a question to Mark Phillips about the term sleepers and the ability to program individuals to do or perform an act at a later date, and how this is used in relation to a sleeper army, a literal underground army that is programmed to do something at a later date.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on that, Mark?
Yes, I do. I'll have to be vague for a lot of reasons. First of all, since I wasn't a party to it, having to go on hearsay part of the way. But your question is probably one of the best ones, and I appreciate it very much, Susan, with regard to the fact that the sleeper production has risen at such a point that in the Middle East alone, and there's not one country in the Middle East, it's not just the ones that CNN or Fox tell you about, it goes into every single one of them. They are all have these sleeper production cells scattered around the desert, where they take children who have lived in a life of post-traumatic stress disorder and have developed, and it's chronic, children who have naturally developed dissociative identity disorder. In other words, they really don't even know who they are anymore because of the traumas that they've been exposed to all their lives. And they take these children and they literally program them using food, water, sleep deprivation, and then they will educate these children, some of them, that they're not going to strap bombs to later on. They'll educate them in various languages. They learn very quickly because they have photographic memories and instant recall on languages, particularly in dialects. And they will place them around the world with a embedded code key or trigger, very much like Kathy O'Brien had, that I was able to release her from the grasp of the CIA. They will have a code key or trigger that they can activate any number of ways, not just a phone call, but any number of things. There was a movie that came out in 1957 called The Manchurian Candidate, which Dr. Stan and I talked about on previous shows, where the Queen, I believe it was the Queen of Spades or Queen of Diamonds.
Queen of Diamonds, right.
Yeah, when the Queen of Diamonds showed up in front of this particular fellow, he was instantly activated and forgot who he was and became somebody else. Well, that is not just fantasy, and it's not just movie stuff. That is indeed one way you can program. You can use anything to program someone, or any key, I should say, or trigger. And torturing someone literally out of their mind and then programming them to do something else for the rest of their natural life is also extraordinarily simple. As a matter of fact, it's scary simple. There are technological ways of doing it now that trauma is not needed. However, it is very inexpensive, it's very easy to do, and someone with no social conscience, once they know the formula for traumatizing someone to the point to where they can be programmed to become someone else, is something that is being done, and literally, according to my information, they've turned out literally thousands of these sleepers, and they are all over the world. Mind control is perhaps the greatest threat to mankind that mankind has ever known, because these people are capable of doing anything that they've been programmed to do, and they could be your next door neighbor, or they could be the politician down the street. They can be anyone, and it's so looking for the word. It's so unobvious.
Undetectable.
It's totally undetectable and totally subtle. There's a lot of people, and I don't want to go off on this one, but there's a lot of people that, and I'm talking about doctors that I work with all over the world. Every one of them say to me, "Well, you've got a president that exhibits every sign of mind control, even down to his literal thinking and the way he speaks." Well, that's undeniable. I can't say that he's under my control, but it would sure seem obvious that if he were, Dick Cheney would be his handler.
Anything else, Susan?
This is very, very interesting. Thank
you
very much.
Well, I hope you'll keep listening. I hope you'll want to get some of the material we have on this, and certainly want to get the book, Transformation of America.
Thank you.
It's an amazing book. Thank you, and we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Mark Phillips. And right now we have, calling from Santa Cruz, on the north shore of beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, Theodora. Hi, Theodora. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Always good to hear from you.
Well, always good to hear you. And I tuned in late, so I don't know if you covered this, but I'm very suspicious that what we have going on Guantanamo with the prisoners is very much an attempt to create sleepers and mind control subjects using the prisoners from Afghanistan.
All right, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, according to what is out in the news right now, our government is saying that they're not using drugs and they're not using dogs. They're just using good old down-home torture on these people, and it's because they feel like that they are sleepers and they don't know how to access their minds any other way except to torture it out of them. Well, Dr. Stan, I can tell you that this is absolutely incorrect information. There are ways to deprogram someone without torture. It is much easier and much more thorough, and the information is much more reliable if you don't torture the person that you want to recover the information that is in their head. I thought that the statement that the lawyers made today for the White House, when they said they didn't use drugs and they didn't use drugs at Guantanamo, but they did use every other means possible, including interviewing them for 20 hours straight for 3 or 4 days in a row, water and sleep deprivation, and also humiliation and threats of death on their families and anyone else that they could show them a picture of. And sometimes those pictures are doctored to show that their children or their wives have been beheaded or in some some horrible way mutilated. And these types of psychological and physical tortures are consistent with what was going on at the prison in Iraq.
Right, Abu Ghraib.
But the sad part about this is that the White House says this is justified, and they have lawyers that are actually standing up and saying that it is totally justified. If they kill one person or injure one person to save two others, then they have the right to do that.
That is so immoral. And where is the outcry from the Christian community saying that these people, no Christian would ever justify doing what our Christian administration is doing? I mean, this is going to totally discredit Christianity, not only here, but throughout the world.
Not having heard the first part of it, could you I mean, given what is happening that we do know about it in Guantanamo, is it consistent with creating mind control subjects?
Actually, it is, but I believe these people already are, in many ways, these fighters that they've gotten, the seasoned ones, they are, in many ways, already suffering from a dissociative disorder, which is consistent with mind control.
But you would think that since we do know, you know, at those levels, we do know how to, you know, access mind control subjects, deprogramming, that's what we would be doing instead of adding to the dissociative qualities or whatever.
Unless, of course, you're trying to antagonize the Islamic world. I mean, why would they take the pictures that they did in Guantanamo, you know, of these poor guys with the black hoods on, kneeling there, you know, in chains.
That's Abu Ghraib.
I'm talking about it at Guantanamo.
Well, we have those pictures?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes. And I have them somewhere in my files. You know, as I looked at that, I said, why would they be putting these pictures out to the entire Islamic world? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Mark Phillips. And our caller was Theodora, and she was asking, you know, about what was going on at Guantanamo. I was simply pointing out that what was happening at Guantanamo and the fact that our government took pictures there and sent them throughout the world, this was aimed at inflaming the entire Islamic world against America. The same thing with the trip pictures that were taken at Abu Ghraib, a prison over there. And, of course, the army had all of these. They were classified. And then, for some unexplained reason, they declassified them. They told CBS to go ahead and put them out on their CBS 2 program. And they distributed them to the media throughout the world. Now, why would you do anything that stupid unintentionally unless you wanted to inflame the world against America? If that's what you wanted to do, that's exactly what you've accomplished. And I think they know exactly what they're doing. If you read, going into the basic tenets of Islam, one of those is to create terrorism. Terrorism in the heart of your enemy. Create fear. Once you can create fear in the heart of your enemy, you've defeated him. What we are doing is saying to the Arabs, we can be even more brutal than you are. I mean, we can humiliate you far more than you can humiliate anybody else, you know, and so you better fear us. And of course, what we're doing then is inflaming them against us. They know exactly what they're doing. I think it's all in preparation for World War III.
You are 100% correct, not only by my humble estimation, but by those that I know who are working in the Middle East, and many of them are Muslim, that I've spoken with just recently, and they all agree that what you just state is absolutely the facts of the matter. This is a psychological war, and I keep reemphasizing that our government spends more money and more effort and more manpower on psychological warfare methods and applications than it does on its military hardware at this point.
Okay, anything else there?
Yeah, one more question. Since you mentioned President Bush being a very likely mind control subject, could you go into some more detail in terms of, you know, what we should be looking at in order to identify, you know, and what qualities he exhibits and, you know, those will, you know,
think,
we can see those in others.
The best answer is for me to comment to you and say you need to look at the profile of a dissociative disordered person, a DID person. Someone suffering from a dissociative identity disorder reacts to outside stimuli in a very specific way. They think very literally. They become antagonized very easily. If challenged on anything, they can't answer a question straight on or properly. They really cannot think for themselves. They can because they lack the ability to logically reason. If George Bush Jr. doesn't have a script, or if he doesn't have cue cards, or he doesn't have Dick Cheney sitting right beside him, he does not answer questions.
Now, have you been watching the press conferences, Theodore? They're all scripted. He has a script up there. He knows who he's going to call. He knows from the press. He knows the question they're going to ask. Because there, if you watch the people in the press, they all got a little pad in their hand with a question in it. And then he looks down to get the answer.
Well, he also may be wearing a microphone in his ear. It looks like he's waiting to hear the right response and then gives it. So, yeah, it all makes very, very much sense. I was just, you know, looking for more of the details, and I have no doubt.
Well, Theodore, I don't know whether I've ever told you, but I was one of the people who in a group of Christian leaders who picked George Bush to be the president. Of course, I was the negative vote there. There were two of us out of about 24. But when we sat with George Bush and we asked him questions, the man sitting next to me said, and I won't mind, I don't think he'd mind my mentioning his name, is John Stormer, who wrote None Dare Call It Treason. And John asked the president, or to be, at that time it was Governor Bush, if you were elected governor and a Congress was to send you a piece of legislation dealing with transportation or education that was unconstitutional, would you sign it? And George Bush sat there and said, I don't understand the question. No, seriously, this is the true story. And then he said, let's make it simpler. If it was a bill dealing with education and it was unconstitutional, that it passed Congress, and you were asked to sign it, would you sign it? It was unconstitutional. And he said, I'm going to have to think about that. He came up a little later and said, as John and I were standing there, that was a wonderful question. I'm going to have to go home and study up on that. This man is today the President of the United States. Doesn't that make you feel good, Theodore?
Well, nothing about him will ever make me feel good, but thank you for more information.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Mark Phillips, right here at Radio Liberty, and we'll take the call then from Carol from Arkansas. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Mark Phillips, and we've got Carol calling in from Arkansas. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan, and you're coming in good on 7535, but 13770 is inaudible.
All right, fine. Well, I want to tell you what's going to happen next couple of days. They're going to give us another frequency. Hopefully, that'll be much better.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm hoping so, too.
Okay,
but
fine.
I wanted to comment about the, and ask a question about the, you know, at the time that all the school shootings were going on, and they were going on, you know, from, we had one here in Arkansas, and of course, the one up at Claiborne, and Alabama. There were just, you know, scattered all over Kentucky, and I think several states had one. At that time, the big push politically was they were trying to take gun rights away from the people, and they had to scare this up by, you know, saying, look here, these kids are getting these guns, and we just got to take the guns away from everybody because, after all, we cannot have them shooting in schools. So, but anyway, this is a fact that I know, and Sam Blum, who has done a lot of study on kids and schools and school programs.
Samuel Blumenfeld.
Blumenfeld, yes.
Right, okay.
He came up with, he told me, he's the one who told me that every one of these kids was on at least two drugs, Prozac, Luvox, Ritalin, or some of them, on two of them, and every one of them, without fail, was on these drugs. Now, the Claiborne boy in the court hearings in Oregon kept saying that he kept hearing, this voice kept telling him to do this.
You're talking about in Littleton, Colorado.
No, this was the one.
This is not Claiborne you're talking about.
No, the shooter in the school that
right.
shot his parents, and then he went and did all the shooting at school. It was one of the first ones that happened.
Okay, this wasn't Claiborne then, it was somebody else.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, at the court hearings, it came out in the press that he said that he kept hearing this voice was telling him, and his attorney and a doctor sitting there said he kept insisting that he was hearing this voice tell him to do this. And I wondered if Mark could indicate or comment on whether these were mind control experiments on all these kids that were doing these shootings in the schools and using these drugs on them.
All right,
only,
well, Mark, how would you respond?
Comment on one. I can comment on the Columbine case because one of the young men, the primary shooters, his father was Special Forces and in the Air Force, and his father was associated directly with an offshoot of an old MK Ultra program. As far as the boy hearing voices in his head, that could indicate any number of things, and including the drugs that they had him on, but it also can indicate schizophrenia.
Oh, Chris, it could be satanic, because there are people who are demonically possessed that really do hear voices.
And, that's true, too.
And, of course, and I think that some of these... wait a minute, we... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Mark Phillips. We have, of course, a Carol calling in from Arkansas. She was asking about these shootings all across the country a few years ago in our high schools and grammar schools. And of course, most of these children were on some sort of a psychotropic drug. And then Carol was asking about one specific case where there was a young man who kept saying kept hearing these voices in his head telling him to do it. And of course, Mark suggested that this might be schizophrenia. And Ike suggested perhaps it was demonic possession. You really don't know until you had a chance to, evaluate these things. It could be either one of them, Carol.
But now they've got that technology with HARP and some other things where they can actually put a voice right directly into your mind, and
you're
not hearing it through your ear at all.
But I guess you're going to have to pick this boy out from everybody else.
There's several technologies available that the military has on that right now.
We really don't know. That it's all speculation, Carol.
Okay.
But I think that we have to be very worried that these things are really very real.
Yes, they are.
Hey, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Let's
go
to
John.
John is calling from New Jersey. Hi, John. How are you listening to us tonight?
On the Internet.
Okay, very good. So do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, a question. You gentlemen were alluding to the fact that George W. Bush cannot think on his feet. So my question is, do you have any theory, or how do you suppose he is able to convince so many pastors that he's such a good born again Christian?
Well, I'll tell you.
You
what,
want that one, Dr. Stan?
Oh, sure, I will. I was with him when he was addressing a group. I guess at this point there were about 18 people there. There were about 24 people in the group, and some of them went to the first meeting, and about 18 attended the second meeting. I went to both of them. And when George Bush sits there and tells how, you know, it was Billy Graham that brought him to the Lord, and he's a born-again Christian, he can answer all of these questions very, very effectively, because he's been programmed to do it. And he is really very, very convincing. What put me on my guard when we each had one question. I asked him about outcome-based education, how he felt about that, and this effort to have federal control over education. Oh, he said, he was totally against that. He said, I kept that out of Texas. I kept it from coming in. Well, I knew that he had brought it in by executive order. So he sat 6 feet away from me and he lied. That's the reason I didn't trust him. That and the fact I've read articles by people who are with him that every other word in private is the F word. But this is not what you do when you are a born-again Christian. I mean, I find it impossible to swear. Occasionally I may just say, oh God, well, that's about as a, and that would only be with total exasperation. And I think I've said that maybe one time in the last year. But when you're a born-again Christian, life changes. All I can say is that they are using the Christian community very efficiently.
Yes, they are. So it sounds like he rehearsed his answers ahead of time.
Absolutely. But when somebody asked him a question he didn't know the answer to, he fell apart. If you saw the last press conference, when somebody asked him, well, hey, you know, have you made any mistakes? What mistakes have you made? And I don't know if you saw the response. He sort of stood there dumbfounded. And, I could think of all sorts of responses I would have made with a big smile and turned it into a joke. Instead of that, his response was, after a long, embarrassing silence, gee, I wish you'd submitted that question ahead of time so I could have thought up an answer. That was what he said before the whole world.
Yes,
this is our president.
Myself.
What a tragedy. But you have to understand that he is simply the front for the people behind him. I don't know what's in his heart. Only God knows whether he really is a Christian, but I will tell you the people who are handling him are not Christian, and they've taken him into this terrible war over in Iraq. And everybody who dies there, and all the boys who are going to be permanently crippled, and then there are already 22,000 young men from the Iraq War and the Afghan War who now have all sorts of diseases with aches and pains, and they sound so familiar to Gulf War illness and chronic fatigue. They're all trying to get help in the Veterans Administration hospitals. 22,000 who may very well be like the boys we sent to the first Gulf War, where certainly over a third and maybe even two-thirds are now permanently ill.
Dr. Stan, I'd like to introduce one thing that is off of the subject, but is still on the subject.
Go ahead.
Kathy O'Brien's programming was all Christian-based as far as the religion goes. She could quote scripture and verse better than any minister I'd ever seen or come across. She had this facade of that I affectionately called after the Saturday Night Live character, a church lady. She had this facade more or less, it was almost obnoxious to the point to where it was sickening. And this was programmed in quite deliberately by her handlers, and that's in our book, Transformation of America.
That I never had heard that specific presentation before, but maybe, John, maybe that will give you some idea of how they will use religion, which they hate and which they mock, but they will use it to advance their purpose.
They always.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, this past Sunday, my pastor was, I couldn't believe it, in front of the whole congregation telling us that he knew George Bush was a Christian and that he read the Bible every day. I could believe that George Bush would read the Bible every day, and I could believe that George Bush would pray to his God, as the pastor claimed that he prayed to God. But
amen.
Yeah, but anyhow, so yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Let's go to now Karen. I guess, is this the same Karen we talked to before?
Yes, I wanted to comment on an experience that I had working for a Silicon Valley company where they had three men, who were on the same submarine working in the same department. I don't think that's a coincidence. And one of those men was talking about, just making conversation, how one of his friends had Saddam Hussein in his sights, and this was around 1995. He had Saddam Hussein in his sights, and I made the comment, I made a mistake of making the comment, well, why didn't he do something about it? And this guy, and this is the nicest guy you ever wanted to meet, the most professional guy, you know, his whole face changed. He changed into a whole different personality. His whole appearance changed, and he became very menacing and very threatening, and he leaned toward me. He said, we're not that kind of a country.
Well, now, you say they were in a submarine, or were these special forces or something?
Well, his friend was in the special forces or in some position where he could have Saddam Hussein in his sights.
Right.
And he was just making conversation, and this was a few years after the first Gulf War, and I thought, well, you know, as anyone else would think, well, why did he do something about it? Because, after all, haven't we been looking for Saddam Hussein for the last several years, and we finally found him in a spider hole? And his friend had him in his sights.
Well, of course, that was 1995. Right, 1995. Well, you have to understand that we were keeping Saddam Hussein in power. This is covered beautifully in a book by an ex-CIA agent called See No Evil, where he tells how time and again the military wanted to overthrow Saddam Hussein, and it was the American State Department that saved him. It's an amazing story. See No Evil, we do carry that book. You'll want to get it and read it. You'll never look at the world quite the same afterwards. Thanks so much for calling, Karen. Anything else?
That's it.
God bless. Bye-bye. So there are lots of strange things going on out there. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And the book I'm referring to, See No Evil by Robert Baer, where he tells how, at least on two occasions, one that he was personally acquainted with, the Iraqi military, and this is the period between 1991 and the time and 2001, the Iraqi military wanted to overthrow Saddam Hussein in 1993 and again in 1995, and our State Department betrayed those Iraqi officers who were obviously arrested, tortured, and killed, because for some reason we didn't want to overthrow Saddam Hussein. Why would you do anything that stupid? unintentionally. We're a long way off the subject of mind control with our special guest here, Mark Phillips. And of course, you know, as you, Mark and Kathy, travel throughout the world, and certainly people throughout the rest of the world really know what's going on. Don't many of them really know a great deal more about what's going on in America than the average American?
Dr. Stan, even the most uneducated person in the Philippines knows more about what is happening in our country and what is happening around our country than the average college graduate here. Information control is a form of mind control. And, of course, psychological warfare is built upon the idea that propaganda is absolutely necessary in order to control a populace. And if you want to maintain a secret, the best thing you can do is to put disinformation and misinformation out or ignore the truth altogether through the national medias. Well, that's what's happened in this country since 1949 when the CIA's Operation Cinderella, within a very short period of time, the director of that particular project reported back to his superiors that Operation Cinderella was in fact successful, and that they had control over the at that time the medias, which mainly consisted of the larger newspapers in the larger cities.
Well, tell me, I never heard of Operation Cinderella.
Yeah, it's
work.
Operation Cinderella is a matter of public record. Well, it began with the Associated Press, and the Associated Press, for many of your listeners, and for any members of the Associated Press, they are fully aware that all of the information that they release is filtered through the CIA. This is a matter of public record, and you can Operation Cinderella is not something that is still classified. It has been declassified for many years, as a matter of fact. I'm only going on government documents, so I don't know of any books that have been written about it. But the media was the first thing that the so-called New World Orderist in 1947, the first thing that that they had to do was to enact the National Security Act, and the second thing they had to do was, of course, get control of the medias, and that was done over a longer period of time. But the control over the base newspapers in this country was complete by 1949.
Well, I don't question that at all. I remember after we lost Prop 102 here in California, when this had to do with making HIV a reportable disease, you know, like every other communicable disease or infectious disease. And we went into the election with two-thirds of the people of the state of California. This was for mandatory reporting of this to the public health officer. Two-thirds of the people reported it. We supported the legislation a week beforehand. Then they turned on the propaganda mail. We came out, we lost by two-thirds. In other words, they were able to swing a third of the people away from support to oppose in a matter of a week by the media. I wrote to 100 newspapers in California, and of those who replied, only 3 very small newspapers supported an effective public health policy. Every one other one opposed it, even the so-called conservative newspapers, which just goes to show how effective they are. In fact, anybody who wants to go back to 1917 will be glad to send them a copy of the Congressional Record. At that time, it was February of 1917, Oscar Calloway, Congressman Calloway, talking about how the group of people, aligned with J.P. Morgan, had got together 15 people from the media, and they decided how they would control what the people were getting. They decided they could control 25 newspapers. They could control what the people thought. They bought the editorial policies. They sent people to those newspapers, and they were able to control them, what was getting to the people. This was 1917. If you'd like a copy of the Congressional Record, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and it's been downhill ever since then. Right now, we've got Mark calling in from Indianapolis. Mark, do you have a question or comment?
Oh, hi, thank you. I have two quick questions for Mark. It's mortifying, this discussion of the pedophilia in our government here, but my question regarding Senator Byrd, is there any type of correlation between Binet Ramsey, whose mother was Miss West Virginia, and Senator Byrd is from West Virginia. Did he rape, or is he involved in murdering this child? Could this child still be held? And also, I want to know
Let's take one question. Do you have any comments at all on the Benet Ramsey murder?
Yes. In 1994, a top reporter with one of the, I call them supermarket rags, the National Enquirer, approached Kathy and I with regards to our testimony before Congress and asked if we were interested in allowing the National Enquirer to publish something. And we told them that, well, of course, we didn't care who published what.
It was JonBenet Ramsey, right?
As long as we had an opportunity to take a look at it before it went to press and approve it. He said, well, I've got something here for you. And he said, it may be of interest to you. And this was in, let's see, this must have been in 1995. He provided us the ferry manifest between Michigan mainland and a place called Beaver Island, where one John Ramsey was taking his daughter and his wife, who was Miss West Virginia, as you astutely pointed out, to a Catholic retreat up there that is known, well known in the area, but there's no hard proof at all of it being a mind control conditioning center. And he, as a matter of fact, Kathy O'Brien has a brother, the nickname Beaver, after that place. We do have that manifest showing that each trip that John Ramsey took and took his family, Kathy's father was taking her siblings along with them. They went together as a group. That's about the only connection we can make. The fact that that case was, there were parts of it that were placed under national security, like a videotape that was found, or how to create a mind-controlled slave using a stun gun, and the little JonBenet's body having all the stun gun scars on it. This is a matter of public record. You can check it out through the Rocky Mountain News.
Okay, anything else, Tim?
Well, I just would like to, if you could comment about Dick Cheney, our vice president.
Well, you haven't read the book Transformation of America. There's a whole section in there on Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Repeatedly raping and torturing Kathy O'Brien. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Well, do you have any, want to make a comment on that?
Well, of course, that was Kathy's experience, not mine, thank God. But nevertheless, she did present all that information in trance.
And this was, of course, to be given in congressional testimony. Did you ever get a chance to give the congressional testimony?
Actually, we did provide it in testimony, and it was put in record, but it's still under seal in both the House and the Senate. So,
all right, fine. Well, all I can do is suggest that you can get the testimony. It's the book, The Transformation of America. And, of course, this was written in 1995. I'm sure Dick Cheney would be very unhappy if this was widely circulated in America, although you've got an awful lot of copies of. What are you, the 12th or 13th edition of this?
Yeah, 13th edition in just North America alone in the English language. And when Dick Cheney's daughter, Lynn Jr., was approached in about 1997 by a reporter with the Washington Post. She didn't know she was being recorded at the time. The reporter asked her what she thought about this because she was aware of the book, and she said, I quote, I wouldn't put anything past Daddy.
All right, that's a very interesting commentary from the daughter, who apparently is a lesbian.
Yes.
But, of course, when you come from a dysfunctional family, we sometimes get dysfunctional children. And, of course, we got real problems because we've got people who have lost their moral compass in in positions of authority. And the book, all I can do is suggest it and read it. And it's as I say, there are things in there that I'm sure that Mark and Kathy wish that they didn't have to write. But people have to understand the evil we face today. And that is the power of this book. And as certainly one of our callers said, who had actually read it, I mean, what a profound impact it had on her, and how she had actually given the book away to others with the proviso, you keep the book circulating. And I think that, when you read the book and understand what we're up against, when you understand and you face the fact that there really is evil in the world, it'll draw you, first of all, closer to the Lord. And hopefully encourage you to join us in this this effort to reach the people of America with the truth that they're not going to get from most other sources. Well, Mark, we're just about out of time. As always, the 2 hours goes by so quickly. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Well, Dr. Stan, first of all, I'd like to thank you very much for getting people to think and think outside the proverbial box. And secondly, I thought it was so incredibly important that you pointed out that the Nazis' roots were in the occult, because this is all going back to the occult. And that's really a point that is not well made in trance. It's not well made by us, because it wasn't our experience. However, it is quite true, and there was a tremendous documentary done by on the Discovery Channel, and it was called, entitled, Nazis and the Occult Sciences. And what they did and what they learned and what they applied to their soldiers and to their people using occult sciences is what we are reaping today in our, as far as our benefits.
And unfortunately, those same forces that were in Hitler's Germany are alive and well here, and that actually, that I believe at Discovery Channel, it's available now on DVD as a 3-set. There's actually 4, but there's 3 sets available on DVD. I certainly recommend them to our listeners. Get that, watch it, and they go into Madame Blavatsky, who is, of course, the woman who created Theosophy. They go into Adolf Hitler's obsession with the occult, this whole idea of the Aryan Superman,
yes,
really came from Madame Blavatsky, who was a Luciferian, and that is what energized Adolf Hitler and Heinrich Himmler and the SS, the entire Nazi movement, and that's why the people in the United States brought some of them here and helped the rest to escape to South America. We got a real problem, Mark, but God bless you for everything you're doing, and we'll be talking to you again sometime real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
And please give our best to Kathy.
I certainly will.
Good night, and God
bless.
Good night,
God bless.
Okay, fine. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our interview this evening with Mark Phillips. It's always really an experience for me to have him on and to bring you information. Some of this is not nice information. But far better bring it out now, while there might be a chance that we can touch people's lives and bring them into a proper, help them to bring them into a proper relationship with our Lord, and then hopefully some of them will want to join us in this effort to educate the American people. We can't fight this battle on our own. It's really God's battle, but I believe I've been called to be active, and I hope you will be called to be active as well. Don't forget, we're going to be having a special yearly seminar. It's going to be on the 6th of November this year, so we want you to set that aside. We've already lined up our meeting hall. That's the 6th of November of this year. All-day-long conference here in the Monterey Bay area. So put that aside, and then, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know more about the book that Kathy and Mark Phillips wrote, it's entitled The Transformation of America. That's T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation of America. Why, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. We want to know about the book Operation Bluebird, written by Colin Ross, who is a psychiatrist who deals with these mind control victims, the CIA mind control victims. Why, we carry that book as well. Stennett Report on MKUltra, the Rockefeller Committee Report, a 4-tape set on mind control, and so much more is available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a list of the various things that we have along that line, understand what this is about. go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, where you can hear our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, on the American Freedom Network, on the Genesis Network, and then, of course, here in the evening on the Radio Liberty Network. So then tell your friends. Encourage them to go to our website and pull down our newsletters and listen to our programs. And tell them about our shortwave programs, and hopefully by the end of this week why we'll have our new frequencies all straightened out, and encourage them to listen. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle. Not only I, but my wife and our son and the people who work for us, we're on the front lines of this battle trying to get the truth out across America. So please pray for our provision and for our protection. Until tomorrow evening, when we'll be back with you once again at the same time, this is Dr. Stan saying goodnight, and may the Lord be with you.